Barnes has this to say, why Luke closed his history here is not known. It may have been that he was not afterward the companion of Paul, or that he might have been himself removed from death. And we do wonder, because of the way Acts ends, Luke had written about other people dying, what happened to them, their last days. This is what most would consider a very abrupt ending to Acts. Why Luke closed his history here is not known. It is agreed on all hands that he did not attend Paul in his subsequent travels. And we should infer from the conclusion of this book that he did not survive the apostle, as it is almost incredible if he did, that he did not mention his release and death. And some people think that Luke died before Paul. And that makes sense. It really does. It is the uniform account of antiquity that Luke, after the transaction, and we'll look at some of this antiquity here in just a minute. It is a uniform account of antiquity that Luke, after the transactions with which the Acts of the Apostles closes, passed over into Achaia, where he lived a year or two and there died at the age of 84 years. So Luke would have been older than Paul. Everything in regard to the Apostle Paul after the account with which Luke closes this book is involved in doubt and uncertainty. By what means he was set at liberty is not known, and there is a great contradiction of statements in regard to his subsequent travels and even in regard to the time of his death. And a lot of it has to do with where you as a Bible scholar would place certain events, certain dates. And we have to understand when we read one account and then read another account and the dates differ, we don't know which one may be correct, because even 2 or 3 years make a big difference. But we need to understand whenever we're doing any study and research on the book of Acts, it was the second letter that Luke had written. Luke did not give it the title, the Acts of the Apostles. That came at a later time. But we need to remember it's called the Acts of the Apostles, not the dates of the Apostles. So the main point is that we need to be looking at what was going on, not necessarily when it happened. Now, it's nice to do the research and try to figure out when these things happened. I love doing that, but I have to understand there's no way you can exactly pinpoint and say it happened this year. You can come close. And we'll see in just a minute when we look at Bishop Usher, you know, he can, through the process that he used, he even gives exact dates, as in the day, not the year or the month specifically. It is generally agreed, indeed, that he was set at liberty in the year of our Lord, 63 A.D. After this, some of the fathers assert, some of the early church fathers, that he traveled over Italy and passed into Spain, thus the fifth missionary journey of Paul. But this account is involved in great uncertainty. Lardner, who has examined all the statements with care, and then whom no one is better qualified to pronounce an opinion on these subjects, gives the following account of the subsequent life of Paul in his works, volume 5. He supposes that after his release, he went from Rome to Jerusalem as soon as possible, that he then went to Ephesus, and from thence to Laodicea and Colossae, and that he returned to Rome by Troas, Philippi, and Corinth. The reason why he returned to Rome, Lardner supposes, was that he regarded that city as opening before him the widest and most important field of labor, and that therefore he proposed there to spend the remainder of his life. In the year of our Lord, 64, a dreadful fire happened at Rome, which continued for 6 or 7 days. And that was when Nero, supposedly just to have fun, decided to set fire to his capital city. Then he had to have someone to blame, and he started blaming the Christians. It was generally supposed that the city had been set on fire by order of the Emperor Nero. In order to divert the attention of the people from this charge against himself, he accused the Christians of having been the authors of the fire, and excited against them a most furious and bloody persecution. In this persecution, it is generally supposed that Paul and Peter suffered death, the former by being beheaded and the latter by crucifixion. So if Nero started persecuting Christians around 74 AD, if you don't think there was a fifth missionary journey, and after 2 years, the book of Acts ends, maybe Paul was martyred then along with Luke, we just don't know. But it would make sense that if at the end of those 2 years, it was around 64, 65 AD, when Nero started persecuting the Christians, he would have killed Paul and Peter. Eusebius, in his Ecclesiastical History, this was written in the 300s. Festus was sent by Nero as successor to Felix. Under him, Paul, after having pleaded his case, of course, Eusebius didn't write this in English. It's been translated. Aristarchus was his companion, whom he also somewhere in his epistles calls his fellow prisoner. And here Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, after showing that Paul passed 2 whole years at Rome as a prisoner at large and that he preached the gospel without restraint, brings his history to a close. After pleading his cause, Paul's defense before the emperor, he is said to have been sent again upon the ministry of preaching, and after a second visit to that city, he finished his life with martyrdom. And if we look at some of the passages in 2 Timothy, and depending on how you interpret these passages, where do you date the second epistle of Timothy? Because even a couple of years makes a big difference. While he was a prisoner, he wrote a second epistle to Timothy in which he mentioned his first defense and his impending death. Here on these points, his own testimony respecting himself. In my former defense, no one was present with me, but all deserted me. So after 2 years, and Paul makes his defense, not even Luke was with him. Paul says nobody was there. Okay. May it not be laid to their charge, but the Lord was with me and strengthened me, that through me the preaching of the gospel might be fulfilled and all the nations might hear it, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. That's 2 Timothy 4:16-17. Paul also says in that same chapter, when he wrote the epistle to 2 Timothy, Luke was with him. So did Luke leave Rome for a little while and then come back? He undoubtedly was not there at the time Paul gave his defense. Maybe Paul was called quickly or something. We do not know. We do not know. He plainly intimated in these words, on the former occasion he was rescued from the lion's mouth. Some people think that is referring to Nero. We don't know. We do not know. That the preaching of the gospel might be accomplished, that it was Nero to which he referred by this expression, as is probable on account of his cruelty. Therefore, he did not subsequently add any such expression as, he will rescue me from the lion's mouth, for he saw in spirit how near his approaching death was. Now, this book was written 260, 70 years maybe after Paul was martyred. Indicating the martyrdom that he would soon suffer, which he more clearly expressed in the same epistle, "For I am already poured out, and the time of my departure is at hand." And indeed, in this second epistle to Timothy, he showed that Luke alone was with him when he wrote, but at his former defense, not even he. So it is probable that Luke wrote his Acts of the Apostles about that time, continuing his history down to the time that he was with Paul. We have said this to show that the martyrdom of the apostle did not take place at that period of his stay at Rome when Luke wrote his history. It is indeed probable that as Nero was more disposed to mildness in the beginning, that the defense of the apostles' doctrine would be more easily received. But as he advanced to such criminal excesses as to disregard all rights, the apostles also, with others, experienced the effects of the measures pursued against him. Eusebius also says, Nero, now having the government firmly established under him and henceforth plunging into nefarious projects, began to take up arms against that very religion which acknowledges the one supreme God. So Nero begins his persecution of the Christians. He publicly announces himself as the chief enemy of God, was led on in his fury to slaughter the apostles. Paul is therefore said to have been beheaded at Rome and Peter to have been crucified under him. And this account is confirmed by the fact that the names of Peter and Paul still remain in the cemeteries of that city even to this day. And of course, he is talking about Rome and the Vatican. But likewise, a certain ecclesiastical writer, Caius by name, who was born about the time of Zephyrinus, bishop of Rome, disputing with Proclus, the leader of the Phrygian sect, gave the following statement respecting the places where the earthly tabernacles of the aforesaid apostles are laid. "I can show you," said he, "the trophies of the apostles. For if you will go to the Vatican," now this was way before the Catholic Church came into being, as we know it, "or to the Ostian Road, you will find the trophies of those who have laid the foundation of this church, and that both suffered martyrdom about the same time." Dionysius, bishop of Corinth, bears the following testimony in his discourse addressed to the Romans. "Thus, likewise you, by means of this admonition, have mingled the flourishing seed that had been planted by Peter and Paul at Rome and Corinth. For both of these, having planted us at Corinth, likewise instructed us, and having in like manner taught in Italy, they suffered martyrdom about the same time." So, what time was that? To Bishop Usher, and this is a lot of facts, in 63 AD, Bishop Usher says that's when Paul came to Rome. Barnes, and I'm not going to flip back and forth between Barnes and Usher because the dates are very, very close. Barnes has 62 when Paul comes to Rome, so a year earlier than Bishop Usher. But Bishop Usher gives us more detail than the chronology that Barnes uses, which I think was Dr. Thompson's. "Paul remained in his own hired house for 2 whole years and received all who came to him. He preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no man hindered him." 63 AD. Onesiphorus very diligently sought Paul out at Rome, and when he found him, he encouraged him. 64 AD. little background about Nero and what he did. When Rome was on fire, Nero watched it burn from Messina's tower and was very greatly delighted with the beauty of the flames. And of course, ushers going back to some of the historians, not necessarily believers, but some of the historians who wrote about what happened at this time. He sang of the destruction of Troy in his lyre player's clothes, comparing the present evil to those old ruins. Some noted that this fire began on the 14th of the calends of July, which would be June the 19th on our calendar. To quell the rumor that he had started the fire, Nero falsely accused the Christians and punished them most grievously with highly refined torments. So, this is a year after Paul arrived in Rome, basically. Those who confessed to being Christians were the first to be apprehended. Then, based on their information, a large multitude were convicted. They were hated, not so much for allegedly having set the city on fire as for the general hatred that everyone bore against him. These people suffered and died most cruelly. So this would have been going on while Paul was in Rome for those 2 years. Some were covered with beast skins to be torn by dogs. Some were crucified and some burned. When it was night, their bodies were turned into torches to give light by night. Nero made his garden fit for the spectacle and held shows in the circus. He mingled among the common people in the clothes of a charioteer or stood in a ring. The Christians were pitied since they were not suffering for any common good but to satisfy one man's cruelty. The words of an old scholar were mentioned as commenting on Juvenal's writings, "Thou shalt be made a torch by night to shine and burn impaled. If you touch Tigellinus, you shall be burned alive, as it was in the shows of Nero, who commanded them to be made into torches, that they might give light to the spectators." These are believers, our brothers and sisters. They were fastened through their throat so that they could not bend themselves. Nero clothed them with pitch, paper, and wax and set them on fire. This was the first persecution raised against the Christians by the Roman emperors. Same year, although Paul was old and in prison, he won Onesimus to Christ. He was a servant who had fled from Colossae from his master Philemon. Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians during this time. Wrote the letter to Philemon and sent it to Colossae by his servant Onesimus. The letter to Ephesians. And I'm not going to read all the details. The letter to the Hebrews. 1965. After 2 years of having been detained, Paul was released. He had taught the gospel at Rome during this period. He seems to have gone from there to Asia and to have lived with Philemon at Colossae. And there are passages here from the scriptures that Bishop Usher uses, Philemon 1:22, for that. Paul preached the gospel on the Isle of Crete, where he left Titus behind so that Titus might set in order the things that were lacking and ordain elders in every city there. Titus 1:5. Paul stayed at Ephesus for some time and then left Timothy there while he went to Macedonia so that Timothy would administer that church in his absence. In Macedonia, he stayed with the Philippians as he had previously promised. 1 Timothy 1:3, 3:14 and 15, Philippians 1:25 and 26. 65 A.D., continuing, Paul wrote his first letter to Timothy. Paul also wrote another letter, this one to Titus, in Crete, asking that when Paul sent Artemas or Tychicus to him, Titus would come to Paul at Nicopolis, where Paul planned to spend the winter. Titus 3, 12 and 13. 66 AD, after winter was over, Paul returned to Timothy at Ephesus, and from there went to Troas, where he left his cloak behind. Erastus remained at Corinth, where he was a city treasurer. Paul left Trophimus sick at Miletus, 1 Timothy 3, 14, 2 Timothy 4, 13 and 20. 66 AD, continuing, Paul came to Rome for the second time and was heard and acquitted by Nero. And, of course, Bishop Usher gives us 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17. So as he had earlier done for 2 years, so now again for a whole year. So Bishop Usher thinks that Paul went back to Rome and preached some more. He preached the gospel to the people of all countries who came from every place and flocked to Rome to make it their home country. Demas, loving this present world more, left Paul and went to Thessalonica. Crescens went into Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke remained with Paul at Rome. 2 Timothy 4:10 and 11. So Paul says no one was with him at his first defense, but he's back in Rome. Timothy's with him this time. 2 Timothy. Paul, by the hand of Tychicus, sent his second letter to Timothy at Ephesus, where the family of Onesiphorus lived. This was after Aquila and Priscilla had left Rome and returned to Ephesus. In this letter, he wanted Timothy to come to him before winter and bring Mark with him, who is very beneficial to him in the ministry. So, 66 A.D., Paul writes the second epistle. And a question, a big question regarding that particular dating, if Paul did have a fifth missionary journey, if Luke was with Paul in 66 AD and Luke and Paul had supposedly left Rome, gone to some other places and then come back, if we think Luke wrote Acts while he was in Rome, why would Luke not have included a description of Paul's fifth missionary journey? Did Luke write Acts after Paul's first stay in Rome? And the book of Acts, as Luke wrote it, began to be circulated. And then Luke didn't write any more, but yet he went back to Rome with Paul. We don't know. We don't know. I would think, maybe, if Luke let that much time pass and then wrote Acts, why didn't he include a description of Paul's fifth missionary journey? Why does Acts end suddenly and abruptly like it does? And a lot of very, very wise and knowledgeable biblical scholars make the argument that there was no fifth missionary journey. And you know what? I can believe them. But I can also see the arguments of those who say, after 2 years, Paul was released, he went, traveled some, and came back to Rome. We don't know. We don't know when Luke wrote Acts. We don't. Maybe Luke did die before Paul and only wrote to what we have and was not able to give us information regarding this fifth missionary journey of Paul. Minutes and hours and days and weeks and years have been spent researching this. And all I know is what I have. And that's this. And it ends chapter 28, verse 31. That's all we have. Now, I believe every word of this. I do. And it ends where it ends for a reason. This is all we have to go on, scripturally speaking. There's no mention of a fifth missionary journey after Acts 28, verse 31. That doesn't necessarily mean that Paul did not leave Rome and go other places and then come back. He could have. We do not know. And we can listen to arguments for both sides. And we still don't know. But I do know this. This is all we have that we can say is authoritative. And I know without any shadow of a doubt that Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house. Paul paid rent for 2 years in Rome to be there. And he received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. So that's why I wanted us to look at this fifth missionary journey, because there's a lot of stuff out there about it, a lot of very knowledgeable people have researched that fifth missionary journey. But I can't stand here and tell you without any shadow of a doubt it happened, because maybe it didn't. We don't know. 67 A.D., according to Bishop Usher, on the 29th day of June, and he is writing this after he himself has done research, reading the writings of the early church fathers and historians. On the 29th day of June, which was the last day of that month, that happened within the reign of Nero, for he died on June the 9th of the following year, Paul was beheaded at Rome. 67 A.D. As the records of both the Eastern and Western Church confirm. What would the Eastern Church have been? What would the Western Church have been? Catholics. The records of both the Eastern and Western Church confirm. Consequently, Chrysostom affirmed without doubt that the day of Paul's death was known with greater certainty than the death of Alexander the Great. Dionysius, the bishop of the Corinthians, in a letter to the Romans, affirmed that Peter also suffered martyrdom at the same time together with him. Origen stated that Peter was crucified at Rome with his head downward as he had desired. Of course, we know what Christ had told Peter. When thou art old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And Bishop Usher closes that section with that passage from John. Why would Paul have been beheaded and Peter crucified? Paul was a Roman. You could not crucify a Roman citizen. Jesus was crucified. He was not a Roman citizen. Peter was crucified. He was not a Roman citizen. Paul was beheaded. When you behead somebody, if it's done correctly, instant. Instant. Of course, we have images of the French guillotine. There goes your head. You're dead. When you crucify somebody, how long does it take?
Days.
Days, sometimes. So, as a privileged Roman citizen, if you were to be executed, because you were a Roman citizen, it was to be as quickly and as painless as possible. So Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified. Why does the Catholic Church adore that little plot in Rome as much as they do? It's called the Vatican for a reason. And the title Vatican goes way back. Way back. Very early church history. St. Peter's Basilica actually was built by the Emperor Constantine way before the days of Michelangelo, when the original structure that Constantine had built, it was decided that it needed to be grander and more magnificent. So St. Peter's Basilica, as we know it, doesn't go back to early times. The site does. St. Peter's Basilica is built over the site of the tomb of Peter. Supposedly. There's been a lot of archaeological digs. They have found some stuff. There is probably much evidence to say that yes, that's where Peter was buried. But even if it is, it's not to be a place where we would turn it into something that you could call idolatry, which has been done. So, Peter and Paul both died in Rome. Peter by crucifixion, Paul lost his head during the reign of Nero. Supposedly Nero died in 68 AD. So if we look at this person's chronology, and I have looked at probably two dozen over the last several months. You look at this person's chronology and yeah, that looks good. Then you look at another person's and it'll be different. Some places, 3 or 4 years. Some places, a year. Yeah, that looks good. Then you look at somebody else's. When did Paul write this epistle? When did Paul write that epistle? They're all very, very close. They really are. It's amazing. It's amazing when you go back and look at all of these different chronologies, how close they really are 2,000 years later. A lot of it depends on when we did our calendar, and we talked about this a couple of years ago. When we did our calendar, we assumed that zero was when Christ was born. And that's more than likely incorrect. Jesus was born in the BC era. So depending on how you place the birth of Christ, you're going this way, BC, you get to the end of 1 BC, and then you start the beginning of 1 AD. That can give you several years right there in the whole dating process. And most people think now that Christ was born like in 4 BC, 6 BC, and it ends up changing the date when you would think Christ was crucified. Some people 30 AD. Some people 32, 33 AD. So when you set that date, then you can start determining some of the dates of the early church. But your base date may change, give or take 2 or 3 years, where you would say something happened. But I wanted us to look at this, because there's a lot of stuff out there about Paul's fifth missionary journey. There are great arguments for it. There are great arguments against it. He either did 4 or he did 5. I know Paul was a missionary. I know he spent all of that time, the last 30 years of his life, preaching and proclaiming Christ. And like I said earlier, the book is not called the Dates of the Apostles. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. And I think that is to let us know it's way more significant what they did than when they did it. And it's more important for us to study what happened in their lives than spend hours and hours, hours and hours and hours trying to determine exactly when it happened. So, if down the road you're reading something and they talk about that fifth missionary journey, could be. Somebody says, no, it didn't happen. We don't know. We don't know. 200 years from now, somebody may be doing an archaeological dig somewhere and something may show up. If you go back and look at all that's happened as far as archaeology is concerned in the last 200 years, it's way more than what we had up until that time. But let's just look at the book of Acts as Acts and how God used the apostles, how he used the apostles to literally turn the world upside down. And we don't have precise dates. We can be close. But that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Because the most important thing is what happened, not so much when it happened. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word, for the truths that are in it. Give us a hunger. Great appetite for it. And bless our time in this next hour as we gather to worship our Savior. Amen.